Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome. This is episode number 99 of the Full Throttle Podcast. It's Monday, the 5th of July, 2021. Oh, there's some dark clouds over Donington Park again as I look out of the window. Greg Haynes with you. James Whittam's with us as well. And we've literally just finished commentating on the final World Superbike race of a rather sensational return to Donington for this championship, where it's game on in the championship. Very much game on.
Loads and loads to be happy about at Donington. The first thing is, we're back at Donington after missing last year. The second thing is we're back at Donington with a crowd, but it had a, let's say, an almost normal feel to it, even though there's been lots of kind of COVID restrictions and protocols in place. It's Donington, everybody's here, and there is, in the paddock, I mean, and there's a smattering of crowd as well.
Yeah, first of all, in the paddock itself, it has been strange, hasn't it? Because it's all fenced off. We've got fans on one side and they're seeing riders going past but can't quite get to them, trying to do selfies with the riders in the background, you know, behind the fencing. So I do feel a bit sorry for the fans, but it's the lesser of two evils,
exactly.
Isn't it, really?
Exactly. At least it's not here. Normal. No, it's as normal as we've had for a bit.
Yeah, exactly. So that was wonderful. And of course, the action will be continuing at Knock Hill for BSB this coming weekend. Still some activity here. The World Sidecar Championship are going round to the grid for an 18-lap race, which will start here very soon. Ellis and Reeves on the front row, I see on the graphics. But anyway, let's focus on World Superbikes.
Yeah.
Ducati's fallen from first to third in the Manufacturers' Championship, and Toprak Ras Gatioglu is in the lead of the World Superbike Championship.
Yeah, we'll start off with Ducati first, I think. They've had a terrible meeting. Scott Redding just never really seemed to get going. Seemed to have issues with the bike from the get-go. The first race was sketchy, let's say, on conditions, and ran slightly wide. Other people did. It wasn't a big mistake, but had a horrendous-looking crash at the top of Crainer, and that obviously put him out. Was on the back foot from then on in. He chose wet tyres on a quickly drying track for the Super Pole race, and therefore struggled and ended up, I think, 19th. And it was good to see him salvage something of a result in the race two, the second longer race, with a fourth. I think he needed that. I think the only positive to take out of this meeting for Ducati is the fact that Redding did salvage something in the end, and that's about it.
Why do Ducati always seem to struggle at Donington, though?
No idea.
Regardless of the riders, the bikes, what is it about Ducati and Donington?
I don't think they actually know fully. They've had good results historically, going back a long time. In the modern era with the V4, they've seemed to struggle a little bit. They haven't got that much experience around here because they didn't come here last year. Don't know. There's several theories amongst the people who are supposed to know. One of them is the fact that the bike has, it's too sensitive to, well, it's sensitive to everything. It's sensitive to tyre grip, it's sensitive to temperature, and they're saying it's quite sensitive to weight transference. I think pitches a little bit too much, and that's a big problem here at Donington, because Donington's got everything. It's got fast flowing sections, it's got stop start, scratchy, typically English sections. But who knows? But as I say, Scott managed to salvage what was, for me, a really good result for him in race two.
Now, as we said in the commentary, and Matt and Shaky and James Hayden said in prez over the weekend, there was some testing, wasn't there, before we came to Donington. All of the teams apart from Ducati went to Navarra. They didn't go there because they'd been there pre-season.
Already.
Rinaldi and Redding each did a day at Misano. And we've been saying, haven't we, for a while, Honda, they need some testing. BMW, they need some testing.
Yep.
And sure enough, we've seen progress from both. Just quickly on Honda, because they haven't had a spectacular weekend, but they've had a much better weekend, haven't they? They're getting there. They're getting there. Leon has them putting in some decent results. So I'll be interested to see what they can do when we get to Assen in 3 weeks' time. But let's move on, James, to the big talking point.
Yeah.
With respect to Honda, because we've got a new championship leader. We've got a massive challenger now to Jonathan Rea. It started raining again, by the way. Started raining again at 3:05. Toprak just means business, doesn't he? And let's remember, he started 13th on the grid at the start of the weekend.
Yeah, Toprak's come here, I think, with a mindset of just determination. Determined to have a good meeting. In race one, he was absolutely spectacular. From 13th on the grid, row five, that's at this level, that's almost an impossibility. The only other time we've actually seen it is Toprak again, in sketchy conditions, and he has come through from kind of fourth through, I think, was last time.
He was 17th at Magna.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
17th
and he did it twice. Yeah,
but in really bad conditions.
Yes,
true. I mean, a lot worse than we had.
Yeah.
Most people went on slicks. In fact, the whole of the field went on slicks. It was sketchy conditions around the first part of the track, the new tarmac that tended to hold the water a little bit more. So, Redgate, Hollywood, Craney Curves, and the old airpin, everything else seemed dry even before the rider set off. Toprak made a good launch, but an even better first lap.
Incredible.
He got into Redgate, I think, fifth. He was fourth by the time he got to the old airpin. Third at the next corner at Starkey's Bridge. Then second, I think he got into it.
At Coppice.
And then it took him another lap to get past Jonathan Rea for the leader. Did it exactly the same place at Coppice, particularly strong into there. And then just set his own pace and pretty much cleared off. Jonathan Rea had no real answer to that. We know that Toprak was running the SCX tyre, the slightly softer tyre, and Jonathan running the zero. And it was a brilliant, brilliant win for Toprak. The second race of the weekend, the Super Bowl race, the shorter race, Toprak didn't have really the time to get through. The whole of the field, except for Scott Redding, went on intermediates with a rain shower before. As soon as that race started, it was clear that the track had dried out really quickly, even at the top of Craney, where it had stayed wet in the previous race for longer. Toprak said he'd never really tried the intermediate. Other people had used them. He took a few laps to get going. By the end, he was going quick, but he didn't manage to finish as high up as what he would have wanted. But the third race of the weekend, what we call race two, it's a bit odd the way it works. But anyway, the second longer race, the second feature race we've just watched, Toprak was spectacular. Again, he took the X. But more, I think importantly, Jonathan Rea used for the first time in a long race the X tyre. He says that it tends to push the front a little bit. He doesn't like the feeling of pushing the front, although he does like the extra grip from the rear that the SCX gives. It makes the front not as usable, and made a mistake, and he lost the front. Whether the SCX pushing the front was something to do with it, we don't know. He was a little bit wide into Coppice whilst leading. Toprak right behind him. As he slid off, Toprak obviously saw that. So Toprak inherited the lead, albeit when he was pushing really hard. Jonathan Rea maybe felt a little bit of pressure. Anyway, it's an uncharacteristic mistake from Jonathan, and he paid the price. It happens to us all at times, and all the riders. Toprak from there on in controlled the race for me. Brilliant, brilliant weekend for Toprak and for Yamaha, with Garrett Gerloff forcing his way through into second and taking a good second in the end. Towards the end, he was able to stay the same pace as Toprak. It was a brilliant weekend for Yamaha. Dead pleased for Gerloff and for Toprak.
We've been saying for a long time, haven't we, perhaps the key to beat Jonathan Rea is to almost copy the approach. We need a rider, we're in a crew chief and a team and a manufacturer staying together for a few years. And we're seeing that now, aren't we, with Toprak. Do you think Kawasaki stood in the back of their mind, wish they'd kept Toprak?
I think they would have kept Toprak, but I don't think they got the choice. I think Toprak and his manager, more importantly, Kenan Sofoglu,
True.
Fancied a change for whatever reason. It seemed to be a definite decision when they did it. They wanted to go to Yamaha. Maybe, I don't know what, you don't know what is in a deal. Did they promise him a Grand Prix deal if he won the championship, or was it more money, or the thought of better equipment, or more testing? There's a lot, loads of features can be involved, or loads of aspects can be involved in choosing to jump ship. I think for me, Toprak, although lots of people said that Toprak style, this stop-start style he used to have, wouldn't suit the Yamaha. But guess what? He got in the Yamaha and started riding its strength, which is mid-corner, corner entry. So, you know, the lad's adaptable, and he looks at home on this bike now.
And all the greats are, aren't they? All the greats adapt to the circumstances, whether it's regulation changes, new circuits, different bikes. You know, you have to change the riding, don't you? You can't always change the inherent nature of a bike.
That's it. And one of the people we've been talking about this weekend between ourselves is Lucas Myers, because his crew chief is a guy called Mick Shanley, who's a good friend of ours, a lad from Burnley who's his crew chief, really good crew chief, brilliant mechanic is Mick. And he said that the problem with Myers is he's going too quick mid-corner. The man spent all his career on supersport bikes. They don't have the same amount of power, about 145 instead of 245 brake horsepower. So you've got to run that corner speed. All else is secondary. With a superbike, they've got tons of power for pushing out the corner. So you've got to put the bike in a position where you can use that power. To do that, you go slightly slower mid-corner, and you've got to be a little bit more patient. And this is a fact that all bikes have a slightly different nature, even in the same class. You know, a Ducati will feel completely different to these top riders as the Yamaha or the Kawasaki. So you've got to ride a bike to its strength.
Well, we'll hear from the riders in a second, James, but if you could just quickly, let's just go through the three R's at the top of the championship at the moment. Raz Gatioglu, now the first one, ready. And the mindset now in those teams and those camps. Start with Toprak then. What are they going to be thinking now? Because they're in the lead of the championship now. They're not chasing anymore. No. They're now defending a lead. Does that mean a different approach is necessary or not?
We're not even halfway in the championship. It's too early to start thinking about the championship. Toprak actually alluded to that in his post-race interview. Said, look, I'm not thinking about points. I'm just thinking about being competitive and you know, getting the bike right and myself right for each circuit they're going to. And the championship, after that, will take care of itself. And that's true. I think Jonathan, we know how clever Jonathan is. We know how Jonathan looks at the long view. He's a big picture man. You know, we've seen Jonathan beaten over a weekend. We've seen him a few times beaten over a race. But over a season, is he still difficult to beat? Yeah, damn right he is. So Jonathan will be licking his wounds somewhat, but he'll be learning from it, and the team will be learning from it. So do not think that Jonathan's out of this yet. There's no way that he is. Reading, on the other hand, I think might have lost a bit of confidence from this weekend. And certainly, if his body language was anything to go by in the paddock this weekend, he's lost a little bit of confidence, and his head was down a little bit. And that's sad, really, because at the beginning of the season, he had the pace to look like he was going to challenge for the championship. But this job's difficult. It's not. It's such a complex mix of things you need, and a little bit of luck as well. So, all the best to Scott and the rest of the season for him.
There's people in the paddock, James, rightly or wrongly, some of them questioning Redding's decision-making, or Redding and Ducati's decision-making, to be fairer. Is that justified, that criticism? And I'm talking obviously here about tyre choice.
I'll be honest, he's made a couple of questionable tyre choices that I've seen. One at Donington in BSB. I think there was one somewhere else. Where did he... where it went wrong for him. Mm. I was just going to say, my next comment was, but it's gone right for him. He's taken a few risks.
Aragon was a good one.
And Aragon's a good example. So, you know, if he's that way that he wants to take a risk, he's prepared to take a risk.
It was Barcelona's sprint race last year, wasn't it? When they didn't use the X.
Yeah.
They used the zero.
So, you know, who are we? He sat on the bike. It's his neck on the line, as it were. So you can't argue. It annoys me slightly that people sit on the sidelines and criticise anybody who's as good as Scott is at his chosen sport. So difficult when you're sat on that grid, you know, and it's been raining, the track's wet, you've done your sighting lap. You've got loads of factors to take into account. Is it going to rain again? If it's going to rain again, you need weights, no matter what the conditions are, or if you think it is. If it isn't, how quick is the track going to dry? And, you know, we've all made tyre bad decisions in the past, but Scott has made a couple that I know of, but like I said, he's made some good decisions as well. So,
right, let's listen into the interviews then. Charlie Hiscott's been on hand, of course, across the weekend. Here's your top three from the final race here at Donington Park. This is, of course, your winner, Toprak Raz Gatioglu, Garrett Gerloff, and Independence Day in second place, And Tom Sykes, a second podium of the day for BMW, and their third of the day, because Vandermark had a podium as well in the sprint. Here's the top three from the last race with Charlie Hiscock.
Toprak, what a brilliant ride. Well done.
Thank you very much. And I say today, I hope dry in the condition and I try again to win. I am really happy. Race two, not easy because I think after the rain and track condition not good because I'm many times lose the front tire, but and Johnny big mistake, his crash. And after I see Johnny crash and I corner eight, I'm going very slowly because I'm scared. But I'm really happy. Thanks to my team, this weekend, great job. And also home race because my team, like England, you know. And I'm really happy. Again, win, you know.
You're leading the World Championship by 2 points now. How do you feel about going to Assen in a couple of weeks' time?
Yeah, we are fighting with Johnny, but I'm not looking at points because I'm just focused on ride a bike. Just I try and not mistake. And we will see because the season very long. And we will see. Thank you very much.
Brilliant job this weekend, Toprak. Well done.
See you.
Garrett, what a fantastic ride. Well done. Second place there. Happy Independence Day, eh?
Yeah, happy Independence Day. That's right. Happy 4th of July for all my American fans back home. I wish I could have put it on the top spot, you know. It would have been nice. But anyway, just huge thanks to my team, the GRT team. They've been busting their asses. And it's honestly been like a tough start to the year for a lot of different reasons. But it just feels really nice to finally kind of pay them back somewhat with a podium. And I was really hoping I could have done that yesterday, too. But freaking, you know, it happened. So, but it feels really nice. To get this done here was a great weekend all around, and just super happy. So thanks to all my sponsors and Alpine Star, HJC, and I just gotta give all the glory to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thanks.
Hey, you've had quite a weekend because you didn't know this track when you got here. You led FP2 on Friday. How do you feel about Donington now?
Yeah, no, definitely not too bad. It's got American style, so you Brits don't do it too bad.
Hey, brilliant result, well done.
Yeah, appreciate it, thanks.
Tom, another great podium there. Well done.
Thank you. Yeah, team deserve that. I think I do. We've put in some hours and briefly, like I say, come away from the Navarra test with some information. Went back to some basics here and great weekend. I did pre-warn them that I'd be dragging the thing around this weekend if I had to. Started off on Friday, chucked it down the road a few times to find the limits, and from then on in, we've had a good feeling in the wet, good in the dry. I took a bit of a gamble in that race, went for the softer tyre, which were not used. But considering Toprak's performance yesterday, we had to, they reckon if you can't beat him, join him. So I joined him, and after four laps, I wish I bloody hadn't done so. I mean, pardon me, wish I hadn't done so. Yeah, it's difficult. Physically, one of the most challenging races I've had for a long, long time. Just because no grip, couldn't get it through the fast bits, and luckily, going once as well, I was struggling. I just sat back on the old girl. Luckily, I've got a bit of Yorkshire pudding and we found some traction, and Scott was keeping me honest. And yeah, luckily, I just kept it. No mistakes. Couldn't really respond to him. And yeah, what a result for the boys.
It must be a really nice feeling to have got a dry podium as well.
Very nice. Like I said, in the front row in wet, podium in the tricky conditions, and now in the dry with probably not our best rear tyre option. Good strong fight there. So, and for me, Donington's a great showcase because it's everything. So pleased for the team, all the BMW Motor World Superbike team. Number 10 bus, like I said earlier, the M1000 Double R has had a great day today. So we'll cover her in champagne in a bit and go and enjoy it. And you know, Assen next.
Brilliant to see you here, Tom. Adam,
thank you very much. Thank you.
Tom Sykes. Let's just talk about Sykes. We heard there. he's a lunatic, isn't he? But we love him. We love him. He's talking about Yorkshire pudding in his interview.
Yeah, Tom's. I'm fairly certain Tom's mind works in a fairly different way to most others. And you can have some conversations with him. I mean, lads from exactly the same town as me. He's a Huddersfield lad. We all love him. We know how much talent he's got. But you can talk to the fella for 20 minutes and actually not have a clue what you've been talking about 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
It's one of them. Yeah, you've no clue where the conversation's going to go. But Tom's had a really good weekend. and as have the BMW team in general. Whether this is a breakthrough, I'm not sure. I think if it is a breakthrough, you could get more indication of that from where Vandermark finishes at Donington as opposed to Tom, because Tom is exceptionally strong at Donington. And he said before the meet, he says, I'll get a result here where they've got to drag the bike to the finish. So, yeah. But yeah, brilliant meeting for him. You could see there was a palpable release of pressure.
Yes.
And they've been under pressure.
Yes, that's true.
BMW team have, yeah. There's no doubt, been under pressure from... What?
From the board.
From the office.
From BMW itself.
To get results. They put in effort in and they want results. And there was a palpable release, wasn't there, in the garage?
Yeah, like a cork out of a bottle.
Wasn't it?
Literally on the podium for Tom Sykes today, twice. But yeah, a lot of bubbly there being consumed. Prosecco, of course, as it is here in the World Superbike paddock. Garrett Gerloff as well. Do you know what I'm loving as well at the moment, James? We've got factory teams, we've got some of the customer teams, Yamahas, Ducatis, Kawasakis, the Hondas are getting there. BMW now as well. All in the mix, such different characters, loads of different nationalities.
Yeah.
This is the sort of variety a world championship needs,
should
isn't
have.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially after this one's had a bit of stick in recent years for too much British.
Too many
success.
British, yeah.
Yeah. Tremendous to the American up there.
Yeah, just a word about Gerloff. Really, really rate the lad in a load of ways. Not just because I think he's got what it takes as a rider, but the way he goes about it, really friendly, happy in the paddock, happy to talk, doesn't try and avoid anybody, explains things in a typically sort of slightly over the top, but very entertaining American way. If you're British, I'm sure it isn't over the top if you're American. Also, it's kind of self-effacing. If he makes a mistake or he finds something hard, he'll tell you straight away.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah,
I love that.
Just such an endearing feature. We were asking him about his ride on Morbidelli's bike at Assen, at the Assen Grand Prix. Bear in mind, he's got to learn the bike. And he's got to learn the circuit at the same time. Massive ask, finished 17th, having run off the track a couple of times. He was very competitive for his first go and his first go at circuit. But I said what it was like was complicated. Bike's really smooth, gearbox is brilliant, the seamless shift. But he says, God, it's got that many buttons and levers to pull up onto the grid to get all the launch control sorted and the launch device, you know, the pulling down of the suspension. He says, what did you have, 7 different...
Yeah, something like that, wasn't it?
Movements that's got to be done all in a certain order. And he said
small amount of time
I was a bit confused with it. Yeah, but he's a good kid. Really nice bloke.
They're really, really, really good. And great team there as well with GRT. Les Pearson, the crew chief. Well done, Les. Well done also to Phil Marin, of course, who's Top Rack's crew chief. But yeah, progress being made for everybody. It's so competitive now, though, isn't it? You know, it's not as easy to finish on the podium as it was 2-3 years ago.
No, I think it's a competitive class, and I think you've got to doff your cap to the organisers, and particularly Scott Smart, because Scott basically is constantly rewriting the rules and looking at what's competitive and what isn't. We've got different bike layouts. We've got the V4, Ducati. The rest of the bikes are all across the frame, 4 cylinders. But the Yamaha works in a completely different way because the firing order is way, way left field compared to the others. And he's done a really good job in balancing the performance of the bikes. You're looking at a superbike now being perhaps 245 brake horse. We've heard wild claims of more than that. I don't think it's more than about 245 brake horse. Certainly not more than 250, in my opinion. But that's a lot of power. And everything is balanced and thought about, including suspension parts, as price caps and everything. And for me, it's working. You know, it's not very, very cheap. You still need money to run the team. We've been talking to Eugene Laverty, and that his team is underfunded, and his results are suffering because of that. And you would expect that.
Due to a lack of new parts, isn't it, chiefly?
Exactly, yeah. And they're having to use old parts that's been crashed, maybe, you know, twisted or bent or whatever.
Yeah.
And his results are suffering. However, if you've got a reasonable budget, it is possible to make a competitive bike, and that hasn't been the case sometimes in the past.
Before we go, James, just two more things I want to touch on, and we've talked about this extensively across the coverage over the weekend, but the Top Rack MotoGP thing, is this simply Monster and Red Bull? Because that's a big part of it, isn't it? Or is there more to it? Is it loyalty to Keenan Sofoglu? Is it loyalty to World Superbikes?
You tell me. My opinion is this, that Top Rack, Raza Gatlioglu is looking at winning this championship. However, when you get offered a reasonable chance in MotoGP, you don't know whether that chance is going to come round again. So therefore, as a rider, you'll be thinking, do you know what? I'll take it and see what happens. Maybe I can slot back in here if it doesn't work.
Mm.
Because you don't know whether
he would be able to slot back into World Superbikes.
I think he would.
Yeah.
But you do get the impression, even though Toprak's saying, look, I love it in this paddock, I don't want to be doing 22 meetings a year and all the testing, I don't want to be not being at home, I want to be able to go home a little bit. Yes, that's probably got some truth in it, but you do get the impression that there is more to it, whether it's the Monster stroke Red Bull sponsorship, whether it's Kenan Sofoglu, whether it's a Turkish pride thing that they want him to try and win the championship, when how much it meant to the Turkish people and government even, when Kenan Sofoglu won the World Supersport Championship for the first time and then subsequently. So who knows? You do get the impression there's more to it than what Toprak alluding to.
Yeah, what I can say here on the podcast, which we didn't mention on the TV over the weekend, is that we've heard there was a general idea of, from Toprak and Keenan's side, could we race without either Red Bull logos or Monster logos? But the Petronas team is Monster. Toprak and Keenan particularly are Red Bull. So there's definitely commercial reasons here, aren't there, as well?
I think there's commercial, I think there's political, and I think there's personal. And what the split is, you know, percentage-wise between the three, I'm not sure.
Well, it did mean, of course, is that Garrett Gerloff raced that bike and raced it pretty well, is the general consensus here over that weekend.
Yeah, don't himself know I'm practice, called there, doesn't Garrett.
Absolutely. I mean, he probably will be in MotoGP sooner rather than later, won't he?
Garrett makes no bones. He loves this paddock. He's really happy being here. Loves the team. But would he swap across to MotoGP, given the chance? Of course he would.
Yeah, and he said it from day one, hasn't he? He's said it for many, many, many years. Final thing, James, before we go, we're now going to be driving up across the border later on this week to Knockhill in Scotland for the second round of the season for the British Superbike Championship. It's a two-day event, of course, because of the regulations put in place in Scotland. Yep. It's just Saturday and Sunday. But it's not necessarily going to be as simple, you know, as three Yamaha wins. It's a completely different track in BSB.
Yeah, we saw the Yamaha and O'Halloran particularly in charge at Alton. It's not going to be... It's a completely different nature of track, and one thing you've got in BSB, like I said before, is you've got different circuits and they're going to suit different bike and rider combinations. What the nature of the circuit up there at Knockhill, it's the shortest on the calendar, it's really short and scratchy, and that doesn't mean it's Mickey Mouse, it isn't, it's just all action. Even the straight, there is one fairly short straight, but even that's got a huge hump in it that these bikes now with this much power try to wheelie over backwards with you. So you can't relax. There is absolutely no point at that Knockhill track where a superbike rider these days can relax, and it's going to be all action.
I was chatting with Faye Ho here from FHO BMW in the paddock at Donington this weekend.
Yeah, they had a good meeting at Alton.
They did, didn't they? And the wings seem to be helping, don't they? Hickey was on the podium. Faye said as well, Chavi Forrest should very much be back in action. Did not require surgery when he was over in Spain. So I hope he goes well, because Chavi Forrest, if you remember, at Knockhill on a Honda in 19, took pole position in the wet. So who should have the advantage then? Which bike should have the advantage there? Is it going to be the ones with the wings?
Like I said, the straight has a big hump in it that you would think if the bike gives a little bit more downforce at the front due to the wings, you would think that would be a slight advantage. I don't think it's going to be a big advantage. Which bike's going to be? I think... Don't know, can't call it. And if I had to be pressed on it, I would say quite fancy Christian for that one.
Yeah, okay. Christian Iden.
It's more his aggression that I'm going off, not the fact that he's on a bike with wings.
Okay, yeah, he had a great start at Alton, didn't he? I know he's annoyed to not be leading the championship, but 3 second places to Jason Hatter in
three
first places.
That's the best start he's ever had to the championship.
Absolutely superb. Yep. I mean, any other circumstances, he would have been leading it, wouldn't he?
Correct.
Had the other man not won all three. All right, James, great stuff. How long does it take you to drive home now from Donington?
An hour and a half.
Perfect. We'll be back with the podcast after Knockhill BSB, which will be Monday, the 12th of July. And who knows who will have won there. We'll know by then. And it will be episode number 100 of the Full Throttle podcast. I will see you up in Scotland. Have a good drive.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.